There's a little story in Luke 7. I'm going to start reading it. Kira, if you want to put it up, I'm going to read from the NIV. Luke 7, verse 36, if that's okay. I'm just going to take this a little bit down. Just in light of what happened this morning, I just want to stay there. I'm not going to just move on to something else. Can we read? Are you guys ready? Okay, so now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house. The Pharisee were the skrifgeleerdes, the guys that knew the scriptures. And they were religious leaders in their time. So Jesus gets invited for a brekkie. Come on. Who likes a breakfast? I don't know if it was dinner. Oh, sorry, it was dinner. My bad. How does Mornay say, let's not facts mess up a good story? No, I'm joking. But he gets invited. Jesus will have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, they were usually like chilling on the ground, eating. They didn't have chairs like we do, unless they were at a throne, you know, king or whatever, but they would literally lie kind of down eating around a table made on the floor. You guys with me? So don't think dinner table, you sitting around a chair, but think you kind of lying on the ground like in a Turkish restaurant or Ethiopian. I don't know if you guys went to one. You kind of sit like with your feet is behind you type of vibe. But uncomfortable as you get over 40, but Jesus was only 30, so about 30, 33. So she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped. Now, just quickly there, who of you guys will get uncomfortable by now? Yes, okay. So this is happening. This is a true story, by the way. Straight from the scriptures. This is not a parable or this is a true story. It happened. So she's weeping. Now, husbands know, you don't know what to do when women weep, eh? If you're married, you just smile and wave, usually. But let's check out Jesus. Let's learn from Jesus this morning. This is a beautiful story. She stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume. Remember, she had the jar? Poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. What kind of woman? She's like labeling this woman. She's a sinner. So can we quickly pause there? Do we know that we're all sinners? If you don't know that you're a sinner, newsflash. I think it's John, eh? John, in one of his, don't say, if you say that you do not sin, you are a liar. He's talking to the saved people there, not to the unbeliever. You guys know that verse. So just help us to have context. We are all sinners. Before we get saved, we were all lost. We were all fell short of the glory of the Lord. But we're all sinners. So you can, it helps you to think of yourself and put yourself in the feet of, you're like, okay, I can identify with this lady. I'm also a sinner. Can you guys do that this morning? Don't just see this woman, she's the baddie. There's the educated Pharisee, there's Jesus, and the sinner. No, no, no. So who are you in this picture? So we've got Jesus, the Pharisee, and the sinful lady. Who are you? Are you comfortable with doing that? Okay, that's good. We're getting somewhere. Because if we don't see ourselves as the sinner, saved by grace, then we think this scripture is for someone else. We're going to think this scripture is for my cousin who only comes to Christmas, on church to Christmas, on Christmas, that thing, or Easter. This is for you and me. A lot to look at, yeah. So Jesus, knowing what the Pharisee, he had a name, by the way, his name was Simon. Jesus knew what he was thinking, and Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to tell you. So Jesus is speaking to us now. And he says, tell me, teacher. Oh, he says to the teacher, because remember Pharisees, they were teachers in the time, religious teachers actually. Tell me, teacher. And he said, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Who do you guys think? The 500 guy or the 50 guy? It's quite obvious, eh? Okay, we're getting somewhere. Okay, so Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. So Jesus said, you're right. Well done, brother. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. Now listen to this. Jesus said, I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. There's a treasure hidden in here for you and me. Knowing how much we have been forgiven will directly translate in how much we give unto the Lord. Knowing how much we have been given, forgiven. If I know I was forgiven for being a liar, a stealer. What's a stealer? A thief. Thanks, guys. English first language. English second language. A thief. For being forgiven for being a thief, an adulterer, and we can make the list, but the point is, the main thing you and I were forgiven of, and we can't even measure that, is that we rejected Jesus, that we went our own way. And if we know how much forgiveness that is, then the whole narrative in our hearts changed, because suddenly we realized, I was forgiven so much. So much so was I forgiven that Jesus had to die for me. Now we get to a measuring point. That's how much I've been forgiven. Jesus had to die. Now, giving up a Sunday morning to come sit and worship Him, getting up early to spend some time reading my Bible, inviting someone for a coffee, that's no sacrifice for me anymore. It's not a sacrifice. Are you guys with me? Thinking of the price Jesus paid to measure my forgiveness suddenly becomes the measuring stick. Now saying yes to forgiving someone who offends me, that's a small price to pay. It's not even a price. It's a willingness that Jesus puts in my heart, because that's the forgiveness I've received. Now I want to love. No matter how ugly Alex can become, even if he tries, the only response I have left to give to Alex is love. But the moment we lose sight of the price that Jesus paid, we want Alex to first do something. I don't know what we want, but we want him to first fix this. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Alex first needs to do something now. Because I'm looking at his sin instead of looking at the price that Jesus already paid for my sin. It's my sin that is the foundation for me loving. It's my sin, and the cost of my sin, the cross. It's the cross of Jesus becomes this bedrock. The rock on which we built is Jesus. And suddenly, forgiving, loving, getting up early to spend time with Jesus, saying no to sin, saying yes to laying down our lives for one another, saying yes to go helping someone move or giving someone a dinner when they're sick, saying yes to babysitting for free. Hallelujah. All the parents, pray, guys, pray in tongues. Saying yes to living lives of sacrifice becomes the faith response based on the finished work of the cross. Her many sins have been forgiven. Her only response was, I'm going to pour my whole jar of perfume on the feet of Jesus. Now, there's three, I think at least three texts in the scripture that describes this story. And in one of them, Luke, you must help me if I get this wrong. But in one of them, the writer says that the value of that perfume box was 1 year of wages. Is that correct, eh? And I'll just quickly do a sum in your head. How much do you make? Some of you guys, don't get sad now. I mean, I'm not trying to depress you, like do accounting on. The point is, if you make, that's what you make. Say you make X amount. Let's round it off. Say you make 10 grand a month. That means you make 120 grand a year. So that was, you take that 120 grand, you come to church one morning, and you just put it right there at the feet of Jesus. That's what she did. She comes into the meeting, and not even a Sunday meeting. Eh? That was somewhere like a quick dinner. That's like Tuesday evening, dinner. We're not talking about community on Wednesday night. Not even Sunday. Imagine what she did on Sunday. I'm like, my goodness, if this is the lavishness of her worship to Jesus. And it said, can we have that verse? Because it will be good to show a year's wages. I think that's the key word. Does anyone have that? Quickly search. Okay, cool. So let's read a little bit on. Which chapter? Which book? There. John 12. Can we go there? I just want to show you guys, because I think sometimes it's good to be a little, for our Western minds. I'm saying a lot, and when we hear a lot, for some guy, a lot is this. I lift my hands to the coming king. For the next guy, a lot is dancing like David danced in his underpants, type of vibes. But let's measure much and a lot based on the cross. Bring it back to the cross again, guys, where the price that Jesus paid to have it, John 12. Yeah, okay, cool. John 12, verse 5. Wow, that's small. yeah, that doesn't help. Come on. So John writes the same story, and he adds a little bit of detail for us to have context. And he says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Because it was worth a year's wages. I mean, like, and John gave a bit of context why he asked this. He wasn't caring about the poor because he was a thief and a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself. John, verse 7, look there. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. So this whole event points to the cross. Can we go on to the next verse? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd. Okay, then it goes on. Okay, let's stop there. Thanks. Giving our lives back to the Lord, guys. If we measure it against the price that Jesus already paid, it actually is no sacrifice to give everything. It's not a sacrifice. But I want to read us a couple of verses this morning, an encouragement to us as we make giving our lives to Jesus our very aim. Our response to him as the one who's worthy. And we want to do it at home. We want to do it firstly at home. Paul said something beautiful this morning before he prayed for the guys. He said, it starts at home. So I want to ask each one of us this morning that let's always take time to listen to the word of God for ourselves before we listen to it for our neighbor and our cousin and the guy at work who's we're trying to get saved. And just listen to the gospel of God for yourselves and for your home so that we can be a people who say, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, I love Romans 1:16. In the NIV, Paul writes, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And the gospel is the power of salvation. And the gospel is that God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's good news. First Corinthians 15, verse 1-2. Paul writes and he says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and in which you stand firm. By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. I'm like Rachel was reading that passage from Hebrews 10 this morning. Hold fast to the hope you have. Stand firm. Hold firmly to the word that was preached to you. Do you know what that takes? We have to let go of a couple of other stuff. Just practically. Often when we sit with guys, let's not use the name now. We sit with someone. The step to get to Jesus is often, firstly, just letting go of our own idea, our own fears, our own stuff, and start to cling to Jesus and the word we've already received. That Jesus said, I will complete the good work that I started. Amen. So we don't want to just claim and frame and mind over matter. We're not talking about that. We're saying by faith, Lord, I put on the altar my own ideas, my own perceptions, my own opinions, and I'm clinging to your word like it is, which it is, the very word of life. Amen. So that's a very practical way of holding on. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold. I mean, like, think about this. Paul says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. That's a verb. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. The eternal life, it starts now in knowing Jesus, in our relationship, but there's a taking hold that you and I need to do daily. You guys with me? And that's a very practical thing. By you going and sitting at the feet of Jesus daily, opening his word, praying. First and foremost, you getting before Jesus day after day, you taking hold of him. You say, Jesus, I want to know you more. And I want to ask you guys, pray that. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know your word. I want to know your heart. And as we did last week, behold, spend time beholding him. You know, sit there, worship, pray. Say, Lord, I want to see you for who you really are. It's such a practical thing. And then secondly, we want to get to good fellowship. You know, as we see in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the teaching, but then to fellowship. We want to get with people. I make it like I'm full-time pastor, but so I get to see people every day, which is great. But I want to ask you guys, please prioritize seeing people every day. Because Acts actually says, and they met in each other's homes daily. It's the design of God for a healthy Christian life. So if you're not seeing people, and I know some of you guys work long hours, eh? Some of you guys don't. Bless you. But some of you guys do work long hours, and you're not that flexible. But I want to say, put in your schedule, I'm going to see some. I'm going to go see Daryl. I'm going to go encourage him. I'm going to go pray for him. I'm going to ask him to pray for me. I'm going to ask him to encourage me. I'm going to go see Alan. So make it part of your lives, because it's in the fellowship and in the homes that Jesus is busy shaping us. Amen. Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron. Iron. Do I say it right? Iron. Come on. That one. It's steel, guys. And it's grinding. That whole picture, it's quite a grinding affair. So it means every time I sit with Austin, there's a grinding happening. Shanana. So we're in there and we're working each other. And I want to encourage you guys. That's another practical thing. Firstly, we want to get to Jesus. But secondly, we want to get to one another. Amen? And that, again, it's going to cost you something. You can't necessarily go and watch your favorite series. By the way, that's an easy sacrifice. Come on, guys. Give that up. See people. Give that up. See Jesus. Okay? So we want to see Jesus. We want to see people. We want to stay in the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight, guys. It's a fight. It's not a... What's the opposite of a fight? A fight. It's a walk in the park. No. It's not a walk in the park. It's a fight. It's a good fight. Because with the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Guys, there's a joy set before each one of us that one day all of this will be over. And you can ask me on that day whether this was a good encouragement. I tell you, this is a very good encouragement. You're going to not regret it if you stay in the fight, if you keep holding on, hold firmly. So let's land this thing. Amen. Can we do this? I want to give us an opportunity to respond to the Lord this morning. Can we do that? Because it's good to say yes, actively. We want a yes. You can do that. I was reading Joshua's one of his final messages to the people of Israel. And I want to read it to us. But can we stand? Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. And I want to read this, and then I want us to say yes. If you want to say yes to the Lord, do something and say yes to the Lord. Nah, can we do that? We come to church, and this is a very small part of our walk, guys, a very small part. But these are the moments that help shift us moving forward. Making the weekly devotions. We say, yes, Lord, I devote myself again to choosing you. Can we do that this morning? Come on. Yes. Yes, that's a good yes. Come on. I haven't even read the scripture yet. Okay. Joshua, he says, little context, guys. Joshua is the guy who actually led the Israelites into the promised land. Now, in a way, we're like the people of Israel. We came out of slavery, out of death, out of our unsafe life. We're with Jesus now, but there's the eternal promised land that we're going to get to still. But for now, how do we get from here into eternity? Joshua is giving us very good advice. Listen to this. Now, fear the Lord. And serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Fear the Lord, serve him with all faithfulness. Verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served behind the river or the gods of the Amorites. I mean, guys, there's gods in this world. There's money. There's position. There's fame. All kinds of things. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. There's gods in whose land you are living. If you look around you, people storm the beaches Sunday morning after Sunday morning, giving their lives to cycling and surfing and swimming. I'm not saying cycling or swimming. Surfing is bad, but it's what do we give our lives to? Whom do we serve? Exercise is a good servant because it's good for our bodies, but it's a terrible master. Money, it's excellent servants, but it's terrible masters. Doing well in the workplace, it can serve the kingdom well, but if you are serving it and it's lording over you. But, Joshua says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Can we say again to the Lord this morning, and some of you guys are alone in your household, eh, Curtis? You don't have a wife yet? Or kids? So for the single people, you've got maybe got a dog. You don't have a dog, it's fine. We want to start today. You know what I mean? Even the single people, if you don't have a household, that's fine yet. But we don't want to wait till we get a household. For those of you who are in grandparents' phase, let's love our families as unto the Lord. Let's love our grandkids as for me. So I want us to just take 2, 3, 4, 5 moments, 5 minutes maybe, just respond to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to serve you. Me and my dog, if you only got a dog, that's cool. But I want to serve the Lord. So can we do that? Can I ask you guys, if you want to do that, just put up your hand. Say, Lord, 2 hands. Like, say, Lord, we want to serve you. And we want to pray this morning. Well, like Moses lifted up his hands and said, Lord, it's because of you. We want to lift our hands this morning, Lord, and we want to say, Lord, there are many things in this world, but for us, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just say to the Lord right the way else, Lord, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want my house, Lord, to be a place where you are welcome. Lord, our rooms, our bedrooms, they want it to be sacred places of worship unto you, Jesus. Hello. Our lounges, our dining room tables, Lord, let it be places where we serve you, Jesus. Lord, our family times, let it be times that serves you, that loves you. We want to create places where we love you, Jesus. Lord, every interaction with our kids. Lord, I pray for us, for every parent in this house. I pray that you will help us, Lord, love our kids well. Represent you very well. I pray for the single parents, Lord. I pray that they will find you, Lord, and in the difficultness of being alone, Lord, I pray for your grace that will abound to every single parent. For those of us who are alone, Lord, who's on our own, I pray for your grace to abound, Lord. I pray for family. I pray for hearts that people will be knitted together, Lord. I pray that we will be a people devoted, Lord, to fellowship. But, Lord, at our homes, Lord, may you be glorified. May you be glorified in our bedrooms, in our dining rooms, in our kitchens. Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. And then lastly, Lord, we want to make it very personal. We want to say, Lord, we give you our hearts. We want to keep being transformed into your image, which means I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to keep allowing the Holy Spirit to convict me. I want to know you. I want to love you very personally. And I actually want to give an opportunity. If you're here this morning, you've heard what we said this morning. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. And the wages of those sin is actually death. But Jesus came and said that whoever believes in me can have eternal life. We believe in him and receive him as not only as our Savior, but as our Lord. We make him the Lord of our lives, Lord of our homes, Lord of our finances, Lord of everything, of our children, of our hobbies. Lord, we want to make you Lord. But if you're standing here today and you're not sure if you are right with the Lord, I would love to give an opportunity to you. Great to have the kids with us, guys. It's really don't feel bad. We love having the kids with us. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave the room because the baby's crying. He actually never leaves, by the way. He never leaves. See, if you're standing here today and you are not sure, if you die today, if you walk out here in a truck, you're dead. If you're not sure if you're going to go straight to Jesus, and you want to make sure this morning, you want to make right with the Lord, you want to say, Lord, I want to give you my heart, my everything. I want to give you an opportunity to put up your hand. Can we all just close our eyes for a moment? If you're not sure that you are right with the Lord, that you are going to heaven if you die today, I want to give you an opportunity, guys. This is our absolute most important reason, probably why we're here, is to give opportunity for that. See, if that is you, you know who you are, because there's, your heart is racing a little bit and you're like nervous now. I want to ask, if that is you, I want to ask you, let's take this moment and respond to Jesus. You know, Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father. So I want to ask you, I know it's, we don't want to embarrass anyone, but we would love to give you just an opportunity to say, Lord, here I am. I want to make sure that I'm right with you. If that's you, can you just put up your hand? If there's anyone who knows you need to make right with the Lord this morning, you need to give your life. Thank you. I see that. And yeah, just keep it up. Keep it up. If there's anyone else who knows you need to lift it up, just lift it up. Say, thank you. I see that. And ladies, you guys can just start pray with her. Is there anyone else? Maybe you have loved the Lord. You have served the Lord, but you realize actually you need to return to the Lord this morning. If there's anyone like that, just put up your hand and say, I need to return to the Lord. I need to run back to the arms of the Father. I need to make sure that I'm with you, Lord. Man, thank you, God. Thank you so much. Can we pray a prayer together? You guys okay with that? Just even for her, you can pray with. Let me all pray. Can we pray together, you guys? Your Father, I come to you this morning. I give you my life, all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind. I want to love you because you loved me first. Come wash me clean with the blood of Jesus. I repent of my sin and my own ways. I lay it all down at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the one who's king of my life. Lead me. Have your way in me. And let my life be like that lady. You know, the lady that we read about? Let it be poured out on your feet. Lord, let I just want to pray, Lord, that each one of us, let we have a revelation of a life poured out at the feet of Jesus. What it means to be laid down, to be lovers of Jesus. And even if it costs us the whole year of wages, let us be willing to give everything to Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will take hold of our hearts. Just give us a revelation. Draw us deeper into this knowledge of knowing you, Jesus, the worth of your cross. And we pray that, Lord, in your precious name, in your beautiful name.